To Pacific Cast. I am your co-host, Lycan.
Yo, it's me, Katie. Yo, what's up?
And this is your co-host, Katie. So for a while now, Mr. Jacinto has been bringing in candidates for local election to talk to his PSA classes all over Google Meets, which is a really great thing about this online thing is we can have these special guests a bit more easily than we normally would have been able to. So on October 15th, Mitch Roth and Ikaika Marzo, who are running for Hawaii County Mayor, joined a couple of Mr. Jacinto's classes, and the students were able to ask questions to them and just get a better grasp on their campaign and what got them into politics. Just to preface this, Katie and I are both 17 and a half, so we aren't able to vote yet.
Oh my gosh, wait, my half birthday is today.
Oh my god, happy half
birthday. I'm officially 17 and a half, yes, but I still can't vote, so.
But hopefully this discussion and the way the candidates answered their questions will help you vote if you haven't already. Okay, so Katie, what do you know about the mayoral race or either of our two candidates?
Absolutely nothing.
Cool. Mitch Roth has a long history in government. He moved here when he was 17, and he has been in government almost all of that time as a prosecuting attorney. And then Ikaika Marzo is a local business owner, and he was a grassroots activist in the Kilauea eruptions a couple of years ago. So I guess
I kind of like that. He's just like a normal dude.
Yeah, I think he's cool. He seems nice. Mr. Jacinto actually taught him, and there was like funny banter between them when he came into the Google Meets with, like, remember when you used to play ukulele all during class and I told you to stop and now you're running for mayor? Yeah, I think I don't know. I mean, I kind of, when my parents were voting the other night, I did, like, talk to them about it, and I did give my two cents. But I think there are, like, cool sides to both candidates. Yeah, so let's just get into it. I think probably a really important thing, especially in local elections, to look at is, you know, the candidate's background, where they came from, have they lived in the area for a long time, do they know the needs of the people. Okay, so I think Roth has a really interesting backstory that I wasn't really expecting. We asked Mr. Roth how he kind of got into government and his backstory, and he gave a really interesting reply. Let's listen to that.
I don't have the typical background that a lot of people think that I have. I dropped out of high school in 10th grade, your typical lawyer story. Took my GED after, you know, being out of school for a couple of years, got into the University of Hawaii as on academic probation, and I left on academic scholarship.
So after college, he went to Japan and he met his wife, and he thought he was going to be going back, but when he went to law school in LA, the Rodney King riots were going on, so he volunteered for the LA city attorney and their gang unit. And he then became deputy prosecutor in Honolulu. And really what he said was that the Rodney King riots inspired him to get involved in government and make a change that way. And especially as he was, you know, working with the LA city attorney office, he just watched the way government ran and he wasn't satisfied with it. So he decided to enter it and try to change it himself. So he got to Hawaii and he ended up raising his family here. Actually, all three of his children graduated from Waiakea High School, and I think this is one of the main things I like about Roth is related to one of his main goals in government, which I think probably resonates with most kids in Hawaii.
But, you know, one of my concerns, again, is getting back to allowing for sustainability. And people talk about sustainability. I have three children, all went to public school here, all went away to college and are now living on the mainland. For me, sustainability means the ability for you who are on this class to be able to raise your families here. And in order for us to do that is we need to have quality jobs and we need to have affordable housing so that you feel comfortable coming back here and living after you're done with your college experience.
Yeah, because I don't know, one of the only ways I can see myself living here after college is if I live with my parents, which, I mean, they're awesome, but I don't want to live with my parents, you know, for the rest of my life. So, yeah, Rotha's been here for a long time. He raised his kids here. Marzo was actually born and raised here, so I guess you could say he's a little bit closer. So we asked Marzo about his college and his, you know, experience with his childhood growing up in Pune, and this is what he said.
You know, I gotta talk about my childhood is awesome. Even though we were poor, you know, we lived in under one home. My mom barely could make it by. My dad was a paraplegic. We were poor, you know, but we didn't know that we were poor because we felt we were rich because we had our yard, we had trees around, we had fruits. I mean, my childhood was awesome, but financially we were poor. I grew up in the town called Kalapana in Pahoa. I went to school at Pahoa School for 12 years and three quarter. I went to Waikea for a quarter of my senior year, but I went back to Pahoa, and that's where Mr. Asento was one of my teachers. But I graduated from Pahoa. I went to UH Hilo. I had opportunities to go to many different colleges because of I had a volleyball scholarship, but I ended up staying Hilo. I wanted to go to an engineering school.
Okay. You know what?
Wait, I like
I'm going to say it. He didn't like Waiakea, and I think that all of our listeners should know that and internalize that and just turn away from him as a candidate. Clearly. Well, he became a business owner. I think part of what appeals to me about Marzo is that he just feels more local, and I think that's definitely something. He's not in politics, which, I mean, can sometimes be a big appeal for people. As he's said, Marzo has said, you know, part of the reason he got involved was he saw the eruption and he worked with, you know, organizers with the eruption, and he didn't like the way government was running stuff like that, so he wanted to get involved and bypass it. I think part of the issues there is he might get into government and realize why there's all that red tape and not be able to fix it. But Yeah, I don't know. I think it's always nice to have an outside perspective, someone who's actually, I mean, not to say that Roth isn't of the people, but, you know, he's been in government for a long time, and Marzo may have an outsider's, I mean, he does have an outsider's perspective.
But, like, it's hard, you know, because it's like, everyone wants to, you know, make everything better, but there's the conflicting opinions that makes it harder, but there's also all the laws that are set in place that makes it so very hard for things to change. You know? Like, of course, you know, when the whole, like, thing was going, I'm sure, I mean, unless, you know, they're complete dinguses, I'm sure they all wanted to help the people, right? But I'm also sure there's probably some freaking law or someone being like, no, you can't give them money. You can't. You just can't, because it says here and this, whatever. And it's like, well, that's all I had. Like, I don't know.
No, I get what you're saying. Like, then, and in that way, I feel like sometimes, you know, grassroots organizers like how Marzo was can sometimes do more because they don't have to, you know, go through all of those governmental, like, doors. But, you know, we don't know too much about the government, so this is all just speculation. So, Another thing that appealed to me was that he's from Pune. I'm not from Pahoa, but I do live in Pune. And I don't know, it just feels like he's Hawaii County Mayor, but he's going to look after Pune. And he did talk about being from Pune. Let me play that.
For me, living in Pune helped. Oh, man. There's a lot of things that is happening in Pune, but there's a lot of good things that is happening in Pune, you know? Pune, there's a lot of good people, a lot of positive people, resilient people within Pune, which I don't see around our island. So I've learned some things within Pune and that helped me to understand the challenges of Hawaii Island. But Pune in itself is a special type of people. They're very resilient, very tough skin. They know how to overcome challenges within a community. But with that being said, you know, I think our whole island is resilient and they know how to overcome problems and come up with solutions within different communities.
Just another thing, you know, he feels closer to home to me, I guess.
Well, yeah, because he grew up literally where you grew up. So it's like...
Okay, so origins are important, but obviously a little bit more important is what they're going to do when they get into office. So I also liked what Roth had to say about this.
You know, for the election, what I really would like to do as part of my goals is change the philosophy of government to a government that helps people thrive and succeed versus being controlling. And changing the culture of government to a government that helps people rather than, you know, just, again, tries to control them. You know, I believe that everybody should be treated with dignity and respect. And if you are in business, you have customers, clients, and guests. And, you know, government should treat people that way. That's kind of the golden rule, treat people the way you'd want your family members or the way you'd want to be treated. I think government should treat people that way. We have a lot of challenges. And so the other goal is to get, you know, our government back so that you are able to raise your children here.
Yeah, what he's saying, I feel like that's often, you know, the government is supposed to help people, but there are so many things in government that are just pains for
people. They tend to not help people. Yeah.
They just... Okay, now I'm going to play a clip about his plans for the Big Island.
My plan is to get us back to work and school safely and to get people, you know, working and build an island where, one, when you guys go away for school or if you go away for school, that you want to come back and you want to raise your families in. I think that's really the plan. And, a lot of that that's preventing things right now is COVID. But like I said, COVID, I think, will be gone within the next year or so. And so I think we need to work together as a community and really listen to the community and give the community a voice. I think that's really important.
Those were some interesting plans of his. So I got the opportunity to ask each candidate a couple of questions, or one question each. And I believe I asked both of them about the environment. So I asked Roth what were his, you know, specific plans for the environment. And Katie just dropped her chicken. So we're going to play the clip now.
The thing is, it's easy to make promises, but my integrity is more important than winning a race. So I don't make a lot of promises on my website. But what I do intend on doing is in the first 100 days, we're going to have a sustainability summit. And we're going to be talking about a lot of those things. We're going to talk about the environment, how we can make a better environment for our community, whether we're talking about the oceans and keeping those clean, or we're talking about renewable energies, which is a really big part of our environment. And one of the things that I'm looking at, for example, is making sure our mass transit, our buses, are run by hydrogen or electricity versus fossil fuels. In order to do that, we're going to need to have a lot more renewable energy. And the way we do that is we make sure that government is out of the way and allowing some of these things to happen. We're looking at our refuse. So one of the things is our county landfill. And right now we're hauling rubbish across the island. So we're going to need to make some changes there. And whether that's better recycling, digesters, waste to energy, that's something to be looking at. Our wastewater facilities that are polluting our oceans, we need to be fixing those. And so we will be working on those probably right up front, because there's been a lawsuit on Maui where Maui has lost that lawsuit, and we're ripe for a lawsuit. And so we need to make sure that we're protecting our environment and our oceans. And I think when I talk about sustainability, that's something that's important for you, is that you want to live in a clean place, in an environmentally sound place. When you come back and raise your kids, you don't want your kids going swimming in toxic waters. And so it is going to be important to do those kinds of things. But the way we get those things done is that we work together and we give people a voice so they can actually be a part of the solution, versus just saying, I'm going to give you all the solutions. It's going to be all of us coming up with solutions.
I don't know. I like that answer.
I don't know if I do.
Okay.
He was kind of like, well, I don't really want to say anything right now, because if I say anything and then I don't go along with it, then like my integrity would be on the line. And it's like, let's kind of like put into things. So it's like, so like, well, maybe not, but like, I mean, that makes me more confident in what other things he said, though, because now it kind of like, now when he says that I'm going to do this, that then you know that he will, because if he's not sure about it, then he won't say it. However, I don't know if he's like, I don't know, I'm just, maybe it's just me. I just really, all like my main concern right now is just climate change. So when someone's not all gung-ho about it, I'm like, but why aren't you?
We're going to play Marzo's plans for office.
So I think the main goal is that we want to instill, we want to make sure that we can stabilize our economy, because with a healthy economy creates healthy families within our community, and with healthy families it creates a healthy government within Hawaii Island. And with a healthy government, we can provide the best services, not only with public safety, but with our kupuna and our keiki within our communities, to provide the best services for our people on Hawaii Island. So, you know, that's one of our main goals that we are looking for. And you know, we've been talking about that with our administration, not only my administration, my team, but the needed goals that we need to move forward in Hawaii Island is to stabilize our economy.
Wait, but does he know like how he would help the economy?
He actually does. I actually really liked what he had to say about bringing things back.
One thing that we brought up was, because data science and common sense, we all know that vitamin D or sun, if you're out in the open, it's a way less chance to spread the virus than indoors. So we wanted to bring our economy outdoors. If you could imagine Ali Drive, walking down Ali Drive with outdoor commerce, like a promenade, and also indoors where you can have, you know, a lot of our businesses, restaurants are indoors. Change the filtration, ventilation, and purification systems to ensure that people that go in indoors are safe and well protected, and then also providing the best testing and monitoring systems to contact trace the virus on Hawaii Island, and have better testing capabilities where you can test people and have the results within 20 minutes. So that's some of the things that we're looking at.
So that was actually a quote more about talking about COVID-19. That's why he talked about, you know, the testing at the end. But I guess I'm making a jump, but, you know, to stabilize the economy, we are going to have to get businesses reopened and stuff like that. And to do that, you know, I think it's a good goal to get stuff moved outside. We have basically summer all year round. I don't think it would be that difficult, and, you know, getting better ventilation indoors and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that. Actually, I like his plan. I think, you know, in my little baby brain, I think.
Little tiny baby brain.
My little tiny baby brain likes that.
So I also asked Marzo about his plans for the environment. And this is what he said.
Well, first of all, the thing about it is within county government, any government, there's a lot of red tape. And the best way to move forward with our sustainable platform and green infrastructure is to kind of work with our corp council on figuring out ways, legal ways, and you know, not put our county government in jeopardy with legal or liability to create better ways for our county government to move forward. You know, stressing public re-engagement, which is engage with our communities to find the best solutions on a green infrastructure, figuring out ways with our solid waste management and waste management department to come up with ways where we can create and turn our plastics and our trash into structures. County government using PV solar panels to reduce the cost of electricity or power within our community. And protecting indigenous culture. So everything that we want, and I think I'm the only person that in this race, I want to involve a cultural council where we can protect our indigenous culture and environment with infrastructure, construction to make sure and ensure that, you know, cultural preservation and cultural mindset and environmental impacts and cultural impacts will be looked into heavily because, you know, our culture is still thriving on Hawaii Island and we want to make sure that continues on for future generations.
I don't know. I really like that. I thought the talk about the cultural council, and that's another thing where he feels local and he feels like he's going to protect native interests, and I don't know, I think that's something that just needs to happen globally, especially with the environment, is, you know, there are the indigenous people who have been on the land for thousands of years, and they know how to protect it, and they know, you know, they know the practices that will, I don't know how you would say this, soften, lessen, you know, they didn't deal with climate change because they took care of their land, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, sustainable efforts, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think I really like that about what he said. Moving on, more kind of beliefs about the Big Island, which I'm sure, you know, will impact the way that they might govern. A really important one is gonna be what they feel is, you know, the biggest issue facing the Big Island. But I thought we could maybe center in on what they think are the biggest problems facing young people, because that's us. We're the young people.
One of the things that we do as prosecutors is we look at how to prevent crime. And you know, some of the things that I see are in the crime arena. You know, what's happening in our community with drugs and things like that, with domestic violence and things. But I think, you know, some of the biggest challenges are the challenges with what's happening with COVID and school. Whether that's high school or getting into college and how important it is to get into college and what's going to, you know, where that's going to lead you. So I think that's always been a challenge, but we want our students here, we want you guys to do the best you can because you really are the future of tomorrow. And I think the biggest challenge is making those decisions on how you go forward. You know, I told you I was a high school dropout, not the best choices that I made when I was your age. Don't do it. Most people who are high school dropouts don't end up going very far. I was very lucky. I think moving forward, a really good education is going to be more important as we go forward. And so I think that's some of the biggest things that we're facing. How do you do that in the age of COVID? There's a lot of this kind of education? Do you go, do you stay here? And I think, you know, one of the things that will COVID will teach us is how important it is for to go to college and how lucky we are to have the University of Hawaii at Hilo here, because it gives you that opportunity that is still affordable and will allow you to have opportunities in the future.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting, and I don't know, I thought that it was interesting that he had, you know, the perspective to think about how our futures are being impacted. I don't know, I'm really enjoying online school, to be honest, but there are...
Ow.
Sorry.
How?
But I don't know, I feel like everyone is missing out in some way right now, whether it's like sports or extracurriculars or, you know, just grades in
talking
general,
to people,
the socialization. Please. Yeah, so now we have a particularly interesting question, or subject rather. A student asked Roth about his views on TMT, and this is what he said.
My thoughts about TMT are this. That's a great question. I actually support TMT, and the reason I support TMT is because I think it brings us economic opportunities and educational opportunities. And I think going back to that whole idea about sustainability, I want to make sure that all of you have the ability to raise your kids here and that your kids' kids have the ability to be raised here. In order for us to do that, there's going to need to be jobs in the future. And TMT represents those opportunities. We, you know, I don't know if anybody's in our NextTech program. NextTech is a program that is aimed at science, technology, engineering, and math. And we've built mentorships. So we have people from businesses mentoring up with students. And one of our mentors is a guy named Doug Simons. And just to give you guys an idea, Doug Simons is to astronomy what LeBron James is to basketball. And so if you're basketball players, having LeBron James, you know, mentor you in basketball, that would be something huge. If you're into STEM, where I think the jobs are going to be for you guys in the future, having a Doug Simons or people like that helping as mentors and guiding your way is priceless. So I think that's what TMT represents for our island.
I definitely thought that was an interesting answer. He brought up some good points. Although it is very bold, I feel, to outwardly express, you know, support for TMT, but at least he's being honest, and I don't know, I think we both agree with at least some parts of what he just said. So this is what Marzo said when asked what he believes are the biggest problems facing the Big Island right now.
The biggest problem that we see is COVID-19. COVID-19, as you can see right now, we're not, our schools are not back in session physically, but we are on the computer and doing Zoom calls and Google Meets. But we're going to face a lot of problems within the next 3 to 4, maybe more years on bringing back our economy, bringing back our education to our keiki, bringing back to the normal services for our kupuna. And we continue to face those problems. And but for every problem, we'll be having at least 3 to 4 different solutions for every problem that we face within our administration and our team. So that's basically one of those many problems that we face, but also infrastructure within our community, providing the infrastructure to accommodate our members within our community, and also healthcare. You know, because we're going to go through COVID-19, we need to work with the state government, state agencies to provide the best healthcare for our people on Hawaii Island.
I don't know. I felt like that was also a good answer. I don't know. I'm excited for the history and, you know, the things that we've found, like how our generation is going to be different, possibly because of COVID. I think that's interesting. Okay, so no one asked Marzo about his views on TMT, But I was able to find an interview or a Q&A that he did with the Honolulu Civil Beat, asking him if he supported TMT, the protesters, what he might have done differently in the past year to resolve the issue. So I'm just going to read out the full quote and I can cut it later. So Marzo said, "I played many roles on the Mauna and listened to both sides of the TMT issue. My professional stance is that the county government does not have jurisdiction on Mauna Kea, similar to how the protests had nothing to do with astronomy. But Mauna Kea is also of Hawaii Island, part of our community, and all our people have a relationship with that mountain, whether it's cultural, scientific, or usually both. Hawaii County should still be a part of the decision-making on the Mauna because it involves us. As mayor, I would have sat at the table only if I was involved in the real decisions being made that affected the Mauna. It was poor management of the Mauna that brought the movement to block construction. The lack of transparency and loss of trust are the big issue here. For any construction to restart on the Mauna, our government will have to gain the trust back from the community." I thought that was interesting.
Wait, that was a pretty good take. No, not gonna lie. Wait, I kind of liked that, low-key.
Me too. High-key. I feel like that definitely, among voters would have been a more popular answer. And he didn't straight up say, you know, I don't support TMT, but he in effect did. You know, he said that he doesn't want it to restart until things have actually happened. And I don't know, I like that he, you know, has the perspective from both sides. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of Pacific Cast. We hope it helped you in your voting if you haven't done so already. I was your co-host, Lycan Forster.
It's me,
and Katie. That's your other co-host, Katie McClary.
It's true, that's what I am. It's true.
We'll also be editing this episode, and make sure you check out our school newspaper, Kaleokekoa, at www.kaleokekoa.weebly.com. Our November issue should be up by the time you hear this. See you next time.